If you would take your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, September the 11th, 2022. This morning we're going to read a record from the book of Exodus, but before we get there, we're going to look at a couple of verses in the book of Deuteronomy. And this morning we're going to learn a really great lesson that we can choose to apply in our lives. I think it's probably without question one of the most dramatic events in the Old Testament was God taking the children of Israel out of Egypt in one swoop, crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. And God's intention was not just to get them out of slavery, get them out of Egypt, but his intention was to bring them into the promised land. It was never God's intention for them to wander for 40 years. Not long after leaving Egypt, not too long, I think most scholars say around a year maybe, because they first went to Mount Horeb and then different things went on, and it was about a year, they found themselves at Kadesh Barnea. And this was right there, the promised land, and you would have thought this would have been cause for great excitement, enthusiasm, jumping up and down. Here we are. It's the promised land. We're here. This is what we've heard about for years. It's what my father talked about, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, Abraham. God promised it to him. Then, you know, they came out of with the famine because of Joseph, and then 400 years. Wait, we're here. You know, short time ago, we were slaves in Egypt. Now, here we are. As we'll see when we read it here in Deuteronomy, when they got there, God said, here it is, it's yours, go in, and don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged. So you would have thought that enthusiasm would be at fever pitch. Let's go. But if you know some of the scripture, their confidence and trust in God since the time they left Egypt was very inconsistent. Beginning at the Red Sea, when they said, oh, so there weren't enough graves in Egypt. This is why you brought us out here to the Red Sea. Now we're all going to die. And after walking across on dry ground, not muddy, dry ground, wall of water here, wall of water there, and then seeing the entire Egyptian army wiped out, you would have thought that would have given them forever unshakable confidence in God, his power, his love to take care of them. But the scriptures show that on 8 occasions after the Red Sea, they said the same, basically the same thing. Oh, there's no water. You brought us out here to die of thirst. We're going to die of thirst. Oh, there's no food. Oh, we're going to die. That's why you brought us out here. 8 times. And one of those 8 times was the golden calf. So their trust and confidence in God has not been real consistent. But God came through for them every time. When they needed water, he gave them water. When they needed food, he gave them food. So now here they are at the promised land. And one of the great keys that we learn in how all scripture interprets itself is scripture buildup. And of course that means not everything which concerns one particular topic in God's word may occur at one place in the Bible. And so we're going to utilize that scripture buildup. We're going to read a couple of verses here in Deuteronomy that'll help us understand the record in Numbers. So Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. This is kind of Deuteronomy is kind of a recap of everything that happened. And in verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great, terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you're come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God does give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be you discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. So note what God's will is here, God's commandment, God's promise. Here it is, go have it. Go take it and don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. And also note, it was their idea to send people in for the purpose of seeing which way should we go in there. Okay? So now we go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, the Lord spake unto Moses. So remember, they wanted to send people in there. Obviously, God talked to, or Moses talked to God about it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, said, okay, send thou men, chapter 13 of Numbers, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then it lists all their names. These weren't just somebody just standing over somewhere. Hey, you busy today? You want to? These were heads of each of the tribes. And so it gives all their names. And we go down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. The purpose again of this, from what we're reading here, what we saw in Deuteronomy, the purpose of this was to go and see which way they would go in and see what was in there. It was their idea, right, to send people in there. And so we have to keep in mind that this expedition is absolutely not whether or not they should go in. It's not about if they should go in. It's about what's in there. Just go take a look. And the reason that's important is because God's will, his commandment, his promise already was go and possess it. Don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. So let's see what happened when they went in. Verse 21, then they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, and as men come to Hamath, they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came up to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. You're not going to find grapes like that at Fry's. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So these 12 guys were gone for 40 days. They went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Flowing with milk and honey is just a way of saying great abundance. You know, how hard do you have to work for milk? You just go to the cow and get it. You need honey, you just go to the hive. It's just great abundance. So that's so far so good, right? Okay. Nevertheless, verse 28, oh boy. The people that are in there, be strong, that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled. They have walled cities. Very great cities. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And right then, Caleb pops up. Caleb's one of the 12. He stilled the people. He said, all right, that's enough. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. It is so important in this record to note and remember that Caleb, and we'll see Joshua as well, they saw the same things. They saw the same people, the same cities, the same facts, if you will, the same circumstances, the same situations. And Caleb said, he didn't mention it. When Caleb didn't stand up and go, yeah, there's this and that. He just said, quiet, let's go. Why? Because he believed God. He believed that God said, it's yours, go get it, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. Doesn't matter what's in there. God said, go, let's go. Verse 31. At the end of verse 30, Caleb said, we are well able to overcome it. Why? Because God's on our side. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. There's your facts, circumstances, situations, bigger than me. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. They just eat people. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now here's a great question to ask. Were these facts true? Yes. Were the cities walled? Yes. Were there large numbers of people? Yes. Were there giants? You know, the record of David and Goliath is not a fairy tale for children. Look, see this. No. Goliath was a big boy. A real big boy. Donnie Lamb put this book out, I think, about 6 years ago. It's called What About Giants in the Bible? You guys have seen this book, right? He worked on it for a long time. People kept saying, well, yeah, put a book out about it. But he looks at this topic because you read about this stuff in the Bible. I mean, Goliath, it's not a fairy tale. It's true. And he looks at it from the historical point of view, from the scientific medical point of view, because it's definitely an issue with the pituitary gland. I'm no doctor, but that's as far as I'll go with that. And also the historical and the biblical evidence as well. And in modern times, there's a guy by the name of, well, his name was Robert Wadlow. He died in 1940. Modern times, one of the big boys, he was 8'11". 400 and some pounds. Back in the ancient times, there were areas where, because Goliath had a brother, remember? Who was it that took him out? Wasn't it David's? Was Jonathan? I can't remember. Yeah, took out Goliath's brother. So anyway, the point is, they all saw the same things. Caleb and Joshua saw the big boys. Fine, saw the walled cities. They all saw the same thing. And after such a short time of all the things they have seen God Almighty do, starting with parting the Red Sea, walking across on dry land, seeing the Egyptian army wiped out, needing water, there's water, needing food, there's food, but we want flesh. All right, here's quail, here you go. They have the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and they are eating free food every day. We can't go in. And God has just said, this is yours. Go in and don't be afraid. Look at Deuteronomy. We're coming back here in a minute, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We get a little more information with scripture buildup. In Deuteronomy 1, we looked, I think, at verse 21 and 22 is about sending men there. Look at verse 24, I guess. And they turned and went up to the mountain. These are the spies that went there and came to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God gives us. Notwithstanding, you wouldn't go up. you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. He's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Same song they sing every time there's a problem. Well, God hates us and he wants... Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller. The cities are great and walled up. The cities are walled up to heaven? Wow, they had some big cranes back then. They're walled to heaven? And moreover, we've seen the sons of Anakin's there. We saw the big boys. Then I said, this is Moses recounting what happened. Now, when they started that, all that, you don't read this in where we're at. So this is just added information. Look at Moses. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Remember? And in the wilderness, you have seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man does bear his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place, Kadesh Barnea. Yet in this thing, you did not believe the Lord your God. So back to Numbers chapter 14. And all the children were in chapter 14. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt. We should have died in Egypt. Or would God that we died in this wilderness. And wherefore has the Lord, why in the world has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Why is God doing this? To wipe out our wives and our children. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Let's go back. And they said one to another, let's make a captain and return to Egypt. We need somebody to lead us. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, meaning great grief. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's a great thing to say. And they went, okay, no. Verse 10, look at this response. All the congregation bade stone them. Boy, that's more than saying shut up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stone them with stones. Well, after all of this, God enters the scene. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long? How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? God didn't say, how long will it be before they stop cussing? How long will it be before they stop being so critical? How long will it be before they believe me for all the things that I've showed them? And God's a little ticked off here. I'm going to smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. I'm going to wipe them out. And guess what, Moses? I'm going to make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. Starting all over with you, Moses. I'm getting rid of all of them. And Moses is like, hallelujah, I'm sick of these people too. Oh, gosh. Moses is so great. Moses said unto the Lord, well, if you do that, then the Egyptians are going to hear about it. You know, for you brought this people up in your might from among them. They're going to hear about it. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they've heard that the Lord art among this people, that the Lord art seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill off all this people as one man, then the nations which heard of the fame of you, they're going to start saying, verse 16, well, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. You're going to get a really bad name. And now, and look at Moses, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation. Verse 19, pardon them, forgive them. Would you pardon them? I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Father, forgive them. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Boy, guess we could pray for people, right? And ask God to forgive people. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. They're not going in. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn. Turn you and get you into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. Door is closed. Turn around. No more. Promised land now not available. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. You say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears. Remember, they were blaming God. God brought us here to wipe out our wives and children. Have you spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered with you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward. Anybody that's 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell in there, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, the ones that you said would be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they'll fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know the breach of the promise. For I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. That's why they wandered for 40 years. That was never God's intention. And back one more time in Deuteronomy chapter 9 this time. Comes up again in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Just want to show you a couple verses. Deuteronomy 9. It's quite a record, isn't it? But look at this in Deuteronomy 9, 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. And Moses said, you've been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. But what a great lesson for you and I, this record in Numbers. Now, we don't have a promised land, a parcel of earth. The United States is not the promised land for Christians in our day and time. We live all over the world, Christians, right? We don't have an area where God said, go in and possess it, it's yours. Well, what do we have? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We do have something. something very wonderful. And I think when you see this, we can make the connection to see a great lesson that we can learn from Exodus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Well, I skipped ahead. Let me read verse 3 now. "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust." Exceeding great and precious promises. And in the church epistles, as you know, there are many promises from God Almighty to us. It's no different. God promising us something is no different than when he promised them something that we just read about. It's the same God making promises, right? It's the same God. Just like for them, for us too, there's always going to be facts. There's always going to be situations. There's always going to be circumstances that come up, challenges. But none of that ever changes God's promise. It doesn't change what God has promised. It doesn't negate the promise. So, you know, in our world today, we hear about inflation. We hear about recession. And now the government's doing this. And now the government's doing that. And all this stuff's going on. Does any of that change what God has promised us? The cities are walled all the way to heaven. So? Caleb and Joshua were like, so? Do you guys not remember the Red Sea? See, God is both able and willing to perform his word. And so, in the midst of the challenges that we face, the giants we see, the fears that are being promoted in our day and time, we can choose to be like Caleb and Joshua and believe and trust what God has promised us. There's no different in him promising. And what did God say? How long is it going to be before they believe me? God just said, believe me. And that record that we read in Numbers, if they would have said, okay, they would have gone in and been victorious because God was with them. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. You know, it doesn't mean that the facts aren't true. They are true. There were big boys there. There were walled cities. There were a lot of people there. There are things going on in our world. It doesn't mean that nothing is going on. I just close my eyes or whatever. But that doesn't change God's word. What has God promised us? Let's just look at three familiar ones before we close. Philippians chapter 4. And maybe looking at it in this light of, after seeing the record there in Numbers, it might stand out a little more. In Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verse, verse 19, we have God's promise. Paul wrote by revelation, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Well, it's a great verse, but you know, I got this. No. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua. 2 Corinthians 9. And God, verse 8, again, this is familiar, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Is this true? Well, it's God's word, it's true. And it's a great verse, and I like it, but you see, my situation is that Caleb and Joshua would say, shut up, stop, let's go in because God said it. Let's believe him. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. One more, Ephesians. There's a bunch. You know, we could just spend another hour looking at these, right? And then get really blessed. And maybe that's what we need to do when the pressure's on. Mm-hmm. Put our head in the book. And not the facts or the circumstances or the situations or the giants. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, this is what God is capable of. We saw what he was capable of in the Old Testament. He brought him food, water, part of the Red Sea, all of these things that we see. The widow woman who couldn't pay her debts and they were going to take her son as bondman. She had nothing. She was broke. God multiplied oil. How's that for some facts? I don't have any money. I don't have anything to sell. I'm done. But God provided. And so many records that you could probably think about in the Old Testament. When Hezekiah went into the temple and said, look, here's the letter I got today, God. And if you read that record with Hezekiah, you know, the Assyrians were coming in and they were saying, tell us which God defeated us. None. And then they start naming them. We beat these guys and their God. These guys and their God. Don't listen to Hezekiah and say that your God's going to do anything. We've wiped everybody out. Facts. Were they true? Yeah, they did. But somebody believed God. They didn't take Hezekiah out. Anyway, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Is that true? Absolutely. So when we open our Bibles and read these promises, and many like them, I don't know about in your Bible, but in mine, I don't have any fine print after these promises. There's no disclaimers. Like after Ephesians 3:20, it doesn't say for a limited time only. I don't know if that's in yours. Or only available when the economy is good. Valid when the government is doing good things. It's God's word. It's his promise to us. And here's something really cool to think about. The promises from God to us are not contingent upon every born-again Christian believing them. Good thing, like what we read in Numbers. The promises that we read that are for born-again believers are available to whosoever decides to believe them. We just believe God's word. Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus Christ encouraged his disciples to pray in his name. He said, don't pray to me, pray to the Father. Pray in my name. Ask him. And then he said, because the Father loves you. Because you're so good? No. The Father, he said, the Father loves you because you love me and believe I came from him. And we ought to remember sometimes that the Father loves us. God loves you. Ask in Jesus Christ's name because the Father himself loves you. So I'm sure you can think of other promises. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives liberally to them that ask. Promises. So we always have a choice. We can focus on the facts, the situation, the giants, all those things, or we can focus on God's word. And you know, in closing, I just wanted to say that that's why it's a really good idea to stay strong in the basics. If you're not strong in the basics, when the turbulent times come, you got some catching up to do. You know, and that's true in anything. You know, some of the great basketball players work on basics all the time. To be strong in the basics. So for Christians, for us, prayer, praying, that's basic. We need to stay strong in prayer. Make time to pray. Talk to our Father. Concerns about our country. Pray for our country, our family, you know, and talk to God. Let our requests be made known unto him. Tell God how you feel. And spend that time in prayer. Reading God's word on a regular basis. It's God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone. I need food every day. You know, when I was in the hospital, I couldn't eat most of Monday. I couldn't eat, and I didn't eat Tuesday. And then, you know, by Wednesday, especially because I'm Italian, and you know, that's food's like air. But Jesus said we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of it. We need God's word every day to read God's word. That's part of our basics. And not only read the scriptures, but believe them. Believe what we read. That's what God said. How long will it be before they believe me? What's the difference in what he said to them in the Old Testament, believe it or not believe it, or what he says to us? We just believe it. So we pray, we read God's word, we walk with the love of God wherever we go. Right? That keeps us from being critical, judgmental, all of this stuff. That's what a Christian does. We manifest the love of God wherever we go. You know? God bless you. Love you. Mm-hmm. Care if you don't like me, it doesn't matter. And then, like as Scott shared, we do what they did in the book of Acts. We go stand and speak. We speak God's word. We believe or we look for an open door to share God's word. We speak the word and manifest the Spirit of God. That's what those guys did in the book of Acts when the pressure was on. We can do the same thing. So we pray, we read God's word, we walk with love, and then we look for open doors to help people and share God's word. So what a great lesson this was for us today, and there are many of them in the scriptures. And always remember that Caleb and Joshua saw the same things. So focus on what God's promised. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, that we can gain such great understanding by taking the time to read your word. And Father, we're just in awe of your promises to us. And may we just put them in our hearts and minds and believe them and trust you and have great confidence in you, regardless of facts, circumstances, or whatever. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, that we could have eternal life and a relationship with you. And Father, we certainly anticipate his return. And until then, just pray, Father, that you would help us all. I pray that you would bless everyone here in this room, those on the phone hookup. Thank you for your love for each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.